You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen. Would you take your Bibles and open them to Nehemiah chapter 4? Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we'll be today. And we're just going to look at the first few verses of this chapter. And I've entitled our Bible study, Growing Through the Attacks. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Do we grow through the attacks or do we not? We do. God uses these things in our lives to grow us, and attacks are a part of the ministry. But what a joy it is in serving Jesus. What a privilege that we might at the forefront of our minds remember that all that we're involved in the church is a privilege or a sacred honor, a grace gift of God that he would entrust to us, his precious people, and the message of the gospel. You can jot it down. I was reminded of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where Paul, he's given his testimony, thinking back, and he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." I remember reading this for the first time, and I was reading the Bible, and I'm like, that sounds like my life. I could have written that verse. And what jumps out at me is God enabled me, and he counted me faithful. And what's true for me is true for you. God has enabled you, counted you faithful, and put you in the ministry. I love that. Serving Jesus is a sacred honor, a beautiful place. No matter the hardships and no matter the difficulties, it's worth it. 100% worth seeing lives change daily. Worth it. Worth it. Can I say it again? It's 100% worth it. Your commitment to following Jesus and serving him with your life, all of the sacrifice, all of the difficulties, all of the hardships, all of the pain, everything, it's worth it. Today, I want to remind us about attacks. I'm going to share a portion of Nehemiah that we see insight on Nehemiah and the people of God being attacked in the work of the ministry, which in the work of the ministry, you and I will also be attacked. But can I just pause and warn you? I'm sharing on the topic of attacks, not so that we can bemoan it, not so that we can complain about it, not so that as a group of pastors, we can get into that victim mentality and tell me your pain and tell me your pain. And oh, it's so hard in ministry. And one of the things we've adopted here recently in the last few years is, yeah, ministry's hard, but it's not that hard. Ministry's hard, but it's not that hard. Sometimes I'll hear things and I'll hear conversations, I'll hear complaints and I'll hear murmurings, and it's like, it sounds like you're building the railroad or something, like you're in a coal mine, and like, it's not that hard, but it is hard. And it's important in a world in which we serve that in the lostness of our culture and the lostness of our world, that the men and the women of God that have taken on the mantle to carry the gospel, that we're very, very careful with how we represent the Lord. And we're very, very careful with how we represent ministry. And we're very, very careful how we represent his church. Because God has brought me here today to remind us that attacks make us stronger and they make us more resilient. And they draw us closer and closer to the Lord and reminding us of his love and creating in us a craving and a desire for his affirmation and his love. And if you think as you're going through it in the battles in your life, where do you run? I mean, because you're going to run somewhere. And the Lord says, just come to me. I want you to run to me. I want you to run in the course of my commandments. If you're doing anything for the Lord today, if you're doing anything in his kingdom, there will be trouble. There will be difficulties and there will be attacks. Just like in Nehemiah's life, he's a man committed to build. He's a man committed to the people, wanting to see the people taken care of, to worship again, to be protected with the walls being rebuilt. He's giving up everything, coming back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls for the safety and protection of God's people. Isn't that why you're in the ministry? For the safety and protection of God's people, to take care of them, to serve the Lord in such a way to bring people's eyes back on the Lord, to readjust their expectations, to readjust their reality, to get back to stay in the truth of God's word. And here in chapter 4 and verse 1, notice how the chapter starts, but it so happened. Just pause there for a second. It so happened. In our study today, in this segment of Nehemiah's life, this contrast is not a good thing. It's not going to lead to a good thing in his life, but rather is a sign that trouble is coming. But it just so happened. God is doing a great work in Nehemiah. He's shown him favor with the king. Nehemiah's come back and he's examined all the walls. Everything is going well. The favor of God upon Nehemiah, but it so happened. And haven't you seen that to be true in your own life? It just so happens. You don't know when you're waking up to trouble. You can't schedule when trouble will come. And we can't schedule trouble out of our lives. It just so happened when, notice, Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was, mark that, furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. I want to pause for a second on that phrase, furious and very indignant. We met Sanballat in a study of Nehemiah. We meet him in chapter 2. In chapter 2, Sanballat shows up and he's an angry man because all of his comfort and ease and everything that he was used to is being disrupted now by God through Nehemiah. Sanballat was angry because he couldn't even complain to the king about this. Because God has given favor to the king with Nehemiah. He had no outlet. And it's this anger that will fuel his diabolical actions toward the people of God. Trying to stop the work of God. Trying to destroy the man. Anger, it's just so dangerous. And the root of anger is the devil himself. Satan is he hates the work of God. He hates the progress of God. Jesus taught us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that his purpose, this is in the NLT, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose, Jesus says, is to give life in all its fullness. The devil hates Jesus coming into the lives, delivering, rescuing, repairing, restoring. But Jesus does give us the victory. Sanballat, his name. If you circle his name there, you can write next to it. His name means sin has given life. That's one of the definitions you can find for his name. Of course, there are other definitions like bramble bush or enemy in secret, but the one I cling to is sin has given life. Because often the attacks of the enemy is sin being given life through a person's life. The opposition, the difficulties. What a horrible name to have, you know, to name your kid Sanballat. Sin has given life. But really what he is he's a thorn in secret. He's been a thorn, just like Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a thorn in his side. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, would you? You have an ongoing attack or difficulty in your life that hasn't seemed to resolve itself. It becomes that thorn in the flesh. Can we just be reminded today why God would allow us to have ongoing difficulties, unresolved difficulties? A thorn in the flesh cannot be removed. God will not remove it even after many prayer. He has left it in your life. Notice with me in verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the purpose of the thorn. And lest I should be exalted above measure, by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was, what does your Bible say? given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. The thorns in the flesh are for our ongoing humility. And the thorns in our flesh are for our ongoing dependence. And the thorns in our flesh are for our ongoing reality checks of who we are and who God is. A thorn was sent to Paul to keep him from being puffed up with pride, to keep him in a place of brokenness and dependence upon the Lord. A thorn to Paul, and we're not quite sure what it was. There's quite a bit of theories. I tend to adopt all the theories in Paul's life that they're all of them. They were all thorns in his side. But for Nehemiah, it's clear. Sanballat was a thorn, a person with a name and an agenda. And I wonder today, as we begin our time together, what Sanballat the Lord has given to you and given to me. Maybe he's a big pain or she's a real problem, but it could be that the person who seems to be poking at you or breaking your heart is actually allowed by the Lord to cause you to do what we see in Nehemiah do, pray and cry out to the Lord, to reorient ourselves around the faithfulness of God. Please erase from your mind today. Please purposely erase from your heart and especially your mouths. I've never been a big fan of this phrase. I still hear it from time to time, but I'm asking you just to take it to the Lord and see if he doesn't affirm to you to remove this thinking in your mind, and it's this. Please don't say, please don't think, please don't meditate upon this thought that ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. It's an often used phrase. Ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. Friends, ministry is the people. There is no separation between the two. And sure, there is a Sanballat along the way, and sure, it's going to be hard, and sure, it's going to be challenging, and sure. What did you expect? I know that we all have, over the years, have our expectations rearranged by the Lord. We start out so well. We expect to serve. We love you, Lord. Whatever you want to do with our lives. And then over time, if we're not careful and we don't guard that desire, we hear the word of the Lord coming back to us, don't we? Just like the church in Ephesus did. Hey, guys, you're doing great things. I love to see what you're doing for me, but you have, and you go, wait a minute, wait, stop for a second. Jesus, did you just say, but? Is there a contrast? Yeah, I see what you're doing, but you have left your first love. Be careful that your heart doesn't harden toward the very people that God has called you to serve. There is no ministry without people, and there's no ministry without the Sanballats and the Tobias and these men and women that can be very challenging in our lives. God has enlisted us and enabled us and counted us faithful to serve, to love, and to care for his flock. See what Sanballat does here? He's very angry, it says, furious, verse 1, very indignant. And then he begins out of anger to mock the Jews. This ridicule and mocking is often a part of the strategy of the enemy to stop your progress. Ridicule is to deride or to express contempt for. When you mock, the definition is to tease or to laugh at or to scorn. It actually sounds like the stuff of playgrounds and high schools, but the tactics are used among adults as well. Discouragement, wanting to defeat the people of God. Remember, I get that picture of Goliath there with David, and what was one of Goliath's tactics? With all of his strength, with all of his height, with the numbers behind him, what did he choose to use? He mocked them. There was mocking and ridicule, even as David stood strong, trusting in God. Even Jesus was mocked in Luke chapter 22, receiving it all. It was Warren Wiersbe that said this, and I quote, "When the enemy laughs at what God's people are doing, it's usually a sign that God is going to bless his people in a wonderful way." It's like when there's mockery and difficulty, it's usually a sign God's on the way, ready to rescue. And if you're mocked and you're being ridiculed and you're being made fun of, and even, globally as a culture, just making fun of the church, ridiculing the progress of the gospel, ridiculing the power to rescue and redeem a life, hey, God's ready to work. He's ready to explode upon our culture through the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have to be ready for it. Maybe personally, we have that macro look, but how about the micro look? You. That very, very difficult email that you just received that's just ripping you. He's like, oh man, this hurts. Or what's being posted about you. Or that little group that was upset, you Sunday school teachers, an upset parent that you're one of the little guys went home and snitched on you but didn't tell the truth. And now the parents comes back, what are you doing to my kid? It's like, no. Let me tell you about your kid. Listen, you just know when these things are rising up around you, the Lord is right ready to be at work, to explode upon your life and do a great thing. In the remainder of our time today, I just want to lay before you six things to watch out for in your life where the arrows of ridicule and mockery will go after you, because we see that in the life of Nehemiah. Just areas you want to pay attention to, areas where you won't be surprised, certainly not an exhaustive list, but a list developed from the text of the Holy Spirit would give to us today. And I want you to see what Sanballat went after, like where he was aiming it. These were not aimless areas. The enemy wasn't aimlessly just throwing everything out. He was going very precisely. There were targets. Just like if you go out, you're shooting at the bullseye. These are bullseyes I want you to watch out for in your life. Notice verse 2. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Number one, he ridiculed and mocked their identity. Haven't you seen that to be true? Identity, who you are in Christ. When you know, I think the enemy goes after identity after identity, because he knows that when you understand who you are in Christ, there is no stopping you. When you know what Jesus has done, and when you cling to him by faith, and you understand the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't be stopped. And so he goes after your identity. Feeble Jews, these feeble Jews, the word means withered plants. These weak and beggarly and ready to die Jews. And the enemy will always attack your status in Jesus, your place, your position, your identity. And one of the tools he loves to use is your past. Your past. He loves to use your stumbles and your falls. He loves to enter into your thought life. All these years, I had the privilege of sitting under my pastor, Pastor Jeff Johnson. He would, in many of his Bible studies, say things that I didn't understand. I'd receive them and I would take them, but I didn't understand them until I did. I'm sure it's happened to you. Like there's a lot of things you take in, you're like, I don't know, until you do. And one thing he would say all the time is, the battle is in the mind, the battle is in the mind, the battle is in the mind. And I'm just like, I don't actually know what that means, because right now the battle's in my marriage. So I don't know, mind, like I'm trying to get my marriage on track, or the battle's at work, or I didn't really get it until I did. Where the enemy wants to go after your mind, because what you believe dictates how you behave. So what does he do? If the battle's in the mind, what is the devil's primary weapon? Lies. Isn't that what happened in the garden? He lied. And when you and I begin to believe lies, especially about who we are, then that's the course of our life. The attacks on your identity are no small thing. We need to remember we're new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Number two, I want you to notice in verse two, it says, not only what are these feeble Jews doing, but he says, will they fortify themselves? Will they fortify themselves? Number two, he ridiculed and mocked their vision, their God-given vision and direction. Do they really think they're going to build the walls? Do they really think that they're going to worship here again? Who do they think they are, these weak, feeble, beggarly people? Do they really believe that God gave them that vision and they're going to fulfill it? You guys think you're going to build the wall? Think about that now as we come home here. How many times the enemy's coming after you and saying, do you really think you're going to be a good pastor? Do you really think that? You just leave a difficult appointment, or even Marie and I were on the way home yesterday late after cleaning up and getting everything in order here, and she opens up her phone, checking her email, and an email pops up, and she goes, oh no, and it was one of those, oh no, it's like, what? I need to pull over kind of thing. And it was an email of a young couple that we've known for many, many years announcing to us and asking us to pray because they're getting a divorce. And we've been a part of their lives for many years. A few years ago, we were part of their lives. But to hear another family bite the dust, and it just goes right to the heart. You see what happens in the life. You see the victories as you serve, but you also see the defeats. And then you begin to think, you know what? You're not a good Sunday school teacher. Look at that, those kids. You aren't being used with the high school kids. Look what happened there, and look what happened over there. And you think you can plant a church, and you think, and that's actually what moved you, isn't it? You thought something, you received something, you obeyed, and then the enemy goes after the vision. You really think you can build walls, and you're like, if you're not careful, this is your response. Part of the response is, you know, just like, hey, of course I am. That's why I'm here, yes. But if you're not careful, or it's a bad day, or whatever, you got an emotional low, and the lie comes just at the right time, your response will be, hey, you really think you're going to build those walls? And your response is, maybe not. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe. And before, all these maybes are like steps backwards. And now you're all messed up, and it just started with some little attack. And now you want to quit the ministry, and now you want to go home, or here, you know, in Colorado, when we moved here many years ago, I wanted to go back many times, like literally, not just like simple little emotion things. I'm like, I'm done. I don't think God wants me here. I'm going back. And it just started with one little small thing. And how careful we need to be of the mockery and the ridicule of the enemy in areas that God has given you. Because when we moved here, and I'm sure you have it as well, we had a prophetic word spoken over our life from God through our pastor. It was a word, and we need to cling to it. It may not have been a prophetic word for you. It could have been a scripture. You stepped in, you filled out the ministry application, you said, here I am, Lord, and it was a scripture, or it was an encouragement from a friend where you're just like, yes, I received this from God. Be careful, because the vision can be clouded by the attacks. Number three, notice, not only that, he says, will you fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? That's interesting. Are they going to offer sacrifices? This is a third attack. And this attack of mockery and ridicule is attacking their faith. Because if you believe something and you step out, how do you need to step out, church? In faith. You need faith. God gives you the faith, and you're stepping out in faith. And that's how you did the big thing. You did the big thing because God gave you the faith to do the big thing. And then what happens? Your faith's going to be attacked. This is a common one that's felt by believers around the world. You think they're going to sacrifice, they're going to worship God, they're going to trust him in that situation, they're going to go and, you know, you see this a lot in families, right? You're the only saved person in your family, and everyone's trying to rip that away. Or you're going, now, church, oh, you're one of those, or yeah, you need church now. It's an amazing how many people are personally offended by your faith. By your simple desire to worship God and serve God. Where are you going? Going to church. Well, it's Thursday. It's bowling night. Why would you be going to church? Because I'm serving. We got church service and we're going to worship God. I'm going to serve with the kids. It's interesting in this Bible study how many times kids have come up. So have ears to hear, those of you that are ministering to kids, even your own kids. It's easy to have our faith mocked, and then we're just like, yeah, maybe I am going a little too far, a little too much. It may come from your mom or your dad or your coworkers. They just don't understand. Your sister, she just doesn't get it because her heart isn't connected to the Lord. But you get up early, man, and you go for it because you trust in the Lord, small and large. It's faith. It's faith that this is going to get you through. It's faith that is going to carry you on. It's faith that God is working in you. And faith comes by hearing and what? Hearing by the word of God. They attack their faith. Do you think they're going to worship? Yeah, you bet they're going to worship. Number four, notice, will they complete it in a day? Now, this is a big one for us. Will they complete it in a day? You know what this is an attack of? Their ability. And how many of us have not doubted our ability? How about let's do it? Let's flip that question. How many of you have ever doubted that you can actually do what you're doing right now? Can I get it? I mean, like, just like, I don't think I can. I'm a horrible pastor. I'm a horrible teacher. And if I don't say it, someone else will say it to me. Like, I just can't do this. I can't do this. I just can't do it. I'm unable. And the ability gets attacked. And I'm not speaking to the fact, obviously, God empowers us and encourages us. That's true. I'm just talking about you as a human. Just you as a human, just you, just like I'm gonna step in, I'm gonna talk, I'm gonna lead worship, I'm just gonna be used of God, I'm just gonna be used, but then the enemy comes in and goes, you aren't able. Why don't you just quit? Just quit. It's just beyond you, which is actually true because God's stretching you. And you're not able, which in many ways is true. I'm not able. And there's all sorts of these partial truths, but they're sent as lies. If I was the enemy, if I was still back in the world, that's what I'd go after. I'd really want to demoralize you and get your eyes in a way where you're making progress, but I want you to see the progress you're not making. I'd really want, if I was the enemy, to see that you have made a big step, but I would say, oh no, that's not big enough. If I was the enemy, I'd really want you, I'd really want, as you're just being used of the Lord in the context where you are, I'd want you to see someone else and think you're not good enough because they do it better. They do it better. And he does that. They're gonna complete it in a day. And it was really kind of a dumb statement. It actually doesn't even make sense. No, they're not going to complete it in a day. But that wasn't the point. The point was, even if they had many days, they'll never complete it. And yet every day Nehemiah was there, and every stone that was laid, and every person that got up, and every single day they were building. And they were obedient. And they were faithful. Just like you. Every single day. Those of you that want the larger churches, no, God's doing a great work in you right now. Those of you that want the larger Sunday school or smaller, you're faithful every day. Those of you that have picked up a book and want to be better in your marriage, better in your singleness, better in at work, oh, you're faithful. God's using it. And while we may not be able, we bring what we have, and we lean upon the sufficiency and the ability. While we may not be able, he is able. He is able. Notice next in verse 2. Not only will they offer sacrifices, will they complete it in a day, then check this one out. Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish? Stones that are burned. This is an interesting one. It can be its own Bible study itself, but we won't do that today. But this is amazing because this is exactly what God wants them to do. This is exactly what's going to happen. The stones will be revived. This is what been laid waste is going to bring new life to the city of Jerusalem. And this is where the resources get ridiculed and mocked. Number 5, your resources. Your resources. Look at all their supplies. All they have is rubbish and broken stones. And you think about your own life and ministry. Look at what you have. Nothing. No church building. I remember when we were first beginning the fellowship here, meeting in the school, I was still answering the phone in my car. So I had the church phone forwarded to my cell phone, and I was driving up Parker Road on my way to the office, and I got a phone call from someone that was calling the church and wanting to know information. And, hello, Calvary Chapel, how can I help you? I would just want to know where you guys are meeting because I'd like to visit. And I'm like, great, we meet at Columbia Middle School. And I gave the address, and there was this awkward pause on the phone, and she said, you meet where? And I said, Columbia Middle School. And I gave the directions like we normally did. And another awkward pause. And she says, is this the Calvary Chapel that I hear on the radio? And I said, yes. And she said, where do you meet again? And I said, Columbia Middle School. And I gave the information. And this is how she stopped. Well, you sound like a real church on the radio. And certainly in previous refreshes, I've shared this before, but it threw me for a loop. It struck my heart because I thought we were a real church, but there's this random lady out there that doesn't think we're a real church. So Pastor Gino Geraci was here when I moved here, and he made himself available to me. And he said, anytime I have a problem, he's there to help me. So I called, he happened to be in the office, and boom, I drove cross town. And I went into his office, and he said, what's going on, Ed? I said, you won't believe this, Pastor. You won't believe this. There's a lady that thinks we're not a real church. And he said, well, are people getting saved? And I said, no, not really. And he started a series of questions, and one of them, then he began to turn a corner because he could see. He says, well, are marriages? Yes. Are you teaching the Bible? Yes. Are you singing a song? Yes. And then there was this crescendo in those series of questions and answers, and he looked at me and he said, well, you're a real church. You may go now. And whether it's an attack of the enemy through something really, really hard, or something just like a phrase, you sound like a real church, or whatever it may be, you have to understand this is an attack of the enemy. You are in the place where God wants you, and your resources. We didn't have anything, just the school. That's we were meeting in a school, but what sweet days. Those of you that want to get out of a school or your present condition, one day the Lord will have that for you, and then you're going to miss the school. Trust me. You're going to miss it because there's such a sweetness that God's doing in every phase of your church. If you would have told me that in the school, I would have said, nah, I'll never miss this place. But if you walk around the building, maybe you have some prayer or you need some quiet time, you know what you'll probably trip over? Some really ugly plastic chairs that are scattered around this building. Because we sat on these really ugly plastic chairs that were orange and green and blue. And when we left the school, we asked the principal that we could buy one of every color so we could take them and never forget where we came from. And the principal was so gracious to us, he didn't require us to buy them. He said, take them all. We hate them too, but no, he didn't do that. He allowed us to take one of every color, and they're scattered around the building in different places. So for those of us that were there, we can remember where we came from. But those that might be new to the church can say, you know what? There's a history, the work of the Holy Spirit that God has done in this church. And you are coming into a place where you're standing on the shoulders of other people that have come before you. So beautiful. It's so wonderful. I know we all want more resources, and I know that we, in some cases, they can be really the answer to the prayer in your life. And we want this, and we want that, and we need this. And certainly, there is truth to all that. But again, can I remind you that what you have today is exactly what God wants you to have. Not more and not less. And when you and I learn to be faithful with the little, we never satisfy with the little. But the Bible doesn't say to be satisfied with the little. What does the Bible say? To be faithful. And we just be faithful with what we have. And just remember, though, that what you have will be mocked, even if in your own mind, even if it's just an Instagram post where you see this and you wish you this and you wanted that. It's just, no. Just know. What you have is from the Lord. And then finally, number 6, in verse 3, Now he's got a buddy. It wasn't enough. Tobiah the Ammonite comes up and he's beside him and he's got something to add. Because you know, whenever you complain and murmur, there's always somebody to go, oh, I'll join you on that. And that's why gossip and stuff is so insidious because, you know, you see gossip and you're worshiping the Lord, it's so great, and somebody comes up to you and then starts complaining, whatever, you go, well, I didn't even know that was a problem until you told me. And now that you told me, I think that's a problem. Well, thanks, Tobiah. What do you have to say? Verse 3, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he'll break it down. He'll break down their stone wall. And this is the summary of the ridicule and mockery, really, that all of us face, and that is number 6. Here's a mockery of God's work, just God's work. With some help from Tobiah, he says, yeah, whatever they build, whatever they do, whatever they offer, it won't last. It won't last. But they have no idea what they're talking about, do they? Not only did the work of Nehemiah last, but what are you and I doing right now? Being encouraged by it, being receiving from the Lord. They have completely underestimated God and his power, which is what happens to you and me when we believe the ridicule and mockery. We begin to underestimate the power and presence of God in our lives. We begin to become dismissive of the faithfulness of God in our lives. We begin to believe the lies that we're not good enough, we don't have enough, or God didn't really do this, and God doesn't really want that, and who am I? And we begin to live in a realm that's not truth. And for all of eternity, we can say, Tobiah, you're wrong. However, these little foxes are real, aren't they? These little foxes. Now, we don't have little foxes around here as much as we have little rabbits. Little rabbits. They love to destroy. They're like little rats that can hop. And they eat everything up. They dig under the foundation of your house. And you know, one of the worst things the rabbits do is they go up into your cars in the wintertime here, and they begin to take the warmth of your car and they eat all your wires. Little rabbits. They certainly, in the springtime, eat all your flowers. I mean, Marie will spend all this time getting all these flowers. I'm like, oh, stop spending on flowers, please, stop spending. And then what is she doing? She's just taking care of the rabbits is all she's doing. But in ministry, we have the little foxes, don't we? Little problems, little issues, just little things. They just keep coming, little this, little that, little statements, little issues, little team issues, little staff issues, little money issues, little. And what do you begin to think? Oh, the little issues are going to just end the ministry and make things harder, and we'll never. Look, the attacks only make you stronger. The issues only develop in you a endurance that will be used by the kingdom. Notice what it does to Nehemiah. He doesn't quit. He doesn't go home. He doesn't throw in the towel. He doesn't allow these attacks, public attacks that everyone's listening to, the armies that everybody's hearing. He doesn't. What does he do? Verse 4, hear, O God, we are despised, and turn their reproach on their own heads, and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. I think he's a little upset. But he's also strong. The people are going to see his strength as he stands for what is right and what is true. And we learn a great lesson here of how to stand for what is right and true. You take it to the Lord. You hear God. You see it. We have a work. And these guys are trying to take us off our work. And we're feeling it. And it's hard. And his response is beautiful. Lord, would you hear them? And would you take care of them? Because I got to go back to work. Ed Taylor is the only Ed person in this room that can fulfill the calling of God for Ed Taylor. Nobody else can do that. So it makes sense that the enemy want to get me off course so I'm not doing the work that God has called me to do. And what does Nehemiah go? Wait, hear this, Lord. Take care of them because I'm going back to work. Take care of them because I'm going back to obedience. You got to take care of them, Lord. And I give them to you. Don't cover, verse 5, their iniquity. Don't let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So Lord, you take care of them, I'll go back to work. And isn't that the word to someone today? Lord, you take care of this, because I'm going back to work. I have spent too long away from the plow. Remember what Jesus said? As I get older in ministry and in life, I'm finding that ministry and decisions become a little bit easier as I simplify things. And Jesus gave us a simple, most of his teachings are very profoundly simple, but he gave us a teaching very clearly. It says, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Just put your hand to the plow and don't look back. And how gracious he is to be gracious to us when we do look back and we do look around and we do wonder all these attacks. We're human. But what does God call us back to? Okay, Lord, take care of it. Have your way with it. Be righteous. But for me, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. Put my hand to the plow. And I'm not looking back. Of course, we probably will look back again. But right now, he's taking this attack and I'm moving forward. And it gets us another inch and another foot and another mile in ministry. Another day, another month, another year in ministry. Put my hand to the plow. That's why times like this are so important, is to put my hand to the plow. And Lord, help me not to look back. Amen? Father, thank you for your word as it speaks to our hearts today. We are in great need of your spirit to help us, to fill us. And I know, Lord, it's good to laugh and it's good to have fun and it's so good. Continue that. Continue that among us, Lord, would you? Would you have your way? Would you speak to us from the cloud? Speak to us from the fire. Speak to us from the heart of your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Ed Taylor. If you enjoy the message, you can access more Pastor Ed's teaching ministry by visiting edtaylor.org.